I want to take the Word of God in a minute, and I want to show you how Paul's salvation, how Paul getting saved, relates to the verse of Scripture we looked at this morning in John chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, John chapter 3, verse 10 says, "The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but you know not from whence it comes or where it goes. So then is everyone who is born by the Spirit of God." We're going to look at that in a minute. Before we do, I've got a treat for you. I want us to look at Luke chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, and then see how it relates to Jan parking out there in the middle of the busy highway. I'm picking on her, aren't I? Allison, you kind of like that, don't you? You can whip her when you get home tonight, Jan. I was teasing Jan. Jan and Mrs. Moffitt came to celebrate our great day yesterday and came by and picked up a couple of lunches. And Jan just stopped right out there. Now, she actually pulled off the road. But I'm going to tell you, that is a busy place out there. There's cars going everywhere and people pulling in and slowing down. And Wayne out there waving people down. And Tom waving a flag at them. And we didn't have a wreck one out in front of the church. Thank God for that. 400 people got meals, and we didn't have a wreck. But, you know, we got to live by the promises of the Word of God. When God makes a promise, my friend, you can live by it. You can be sure of it. Whatever God says, God is going to do. Amen? You like that? Well, listen to Luke chapter 14. Kara, can you back up one without too much trouble? Let's read verse 12 as well. I mean, she's pretty amazing back there, but I didn't make it easier on her. All right, there we go. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. "And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him," that Jesus had been invited to a reception, or the parable of a man that had been invited to a reception, a real big dinner, a big deal. But he went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment." Now, Jesus is not teaching us that it's wrong to invite friends to dinner. That's not what he's talking about. And he's not saying that it's wrong for you to invite wealthy people to dinner. And that's really not what he's talking about. But he said, when you're doing things for others that are capable of doing something in return for you, and they do something in return for you, that's all the reward you're going to get. But he said, if you want to do something that brings glory to God, he goes to verse 13. He says, "But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." My friend, the other day when we invited people to stop out in front of the church and eat free barbecue sack lunches, one of the main goals we had in that process was to just be good to people that are poor. Whyever they're poor, however they got that way, the fact is that they are poor. And I shared this morning about one lady that stopped there, and she had two children, two girls with her, and she said, is this free? And I said, yeah, we're just giving them away. And she said, I have $5 in my purse. And I said, ma'am, it doesn't cost anything. They're free. And she broke down and she started crying. She had $5 in her purse, and that's probably all she had. And she said, nobody knows how hard it is on me and my girls right now. And I said, ma'am, this is just our opportunity to show you the love of Christ, and it doesn't cost anything. how many do you need? And she says, just three. And in the tears, man, I was kind of having to choke them back myself. But that God let us be good to people that, I know it was just one meal, but you know what? Every once in a while, just one meal is nice. It's helpful. I didn't have to spend any money. It didn't cost me anything. It didn't empty my cabinets, you know, and one meal. And for a lot of people that we gave one meal to, it probably was a real blessing and a benefit too. But my friend, it'll never be as big of a blessing to them as it will be to us. Because God said, if we do what we did, we gave a reception, we invited anybody to come. It didn't matter if you were poor, if you're crippled, if you're lame, if you're blind. It didn't matter who you are. It didn't even matter why you were poor, if you were poor from an addiction or alcoholism. That didn't matter. We said, we want to give you a free barbecue sack lunch. We want to give you a gospel presentation, and we want you to know that we love you and we care about you. And if you want a church family, we'd like to be yours. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But look at the promise. Look at the promise. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You will be repaid. My friend, I think I've already been repaid. I think the joy that God gave me is enough. But the neat thing about God, even though it's enough, it's not all there is. God is going to reward every one of those that took part, everybody that made that possible, to some extent, the whole church family that makes that possible. And because we've done it before and because we've done it again, and maybe if the church continues to financially support that, we'll do it again in the whole church family, because the whole church family gives. All of us are going to be blessed. What a day, folks. 400 sandwiches, 400 pamphlets given out with, at least a pamphlet to every family that pulled up sharing the gospel. And we know in the Word of God this morning that God's Word says, the wind blows where it wills, and we hear the sound of it. And we don't know from where it comes and where it's going, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is free to save anybody. The Spirit of God can move on hearts of people that don't know God, don't even want to know God. Maybe they don't even love God's people. Maybe they're angry at churches. But God's Spirit is free to have mercy on whom he has mercy. And Romans chapter 9 is a very, very beautiful passage of Scripture. Jesus said, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. And you don't keep me from having mercy if I want to show it. And I just thank God that he's in control of everything. Well, with that said, let me look at just a couple of verses of Scripture in Galatians chapter 1, okay? Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'm gonna do some skipping, but I'm going to just pick out some verses because I want to get to a verse, and then we're going to close. But anybody remember the points of the sermon today? I know you understand. I know God spoke to you, and I know we had. But does anybody remember any of the particular maybe points that I made? And I'm not good at really saying this is point one, this is point two, and this is point three. But anybody remember? There you go. The Holy Spirit of God, he decides where he goes. The Holy Spirit of God is like the wind. I mean, we don't tell the wind where to go. We don't tell the wind what to do. I try, but it doesn't do any good. The wind goes where it wills. And then we see the effects of the wind. There's another one, right? The wind has power, and it does things, and it changes things. And an oak tree that has resisted 150 years of all the storms suddenly caves in to the wind. And And we talked this morning about unbelievers that have been resistant, and they're full of sin, and they've been obstinate, and maybe they are as rebellious as you can get, and maybe unconcerned, and maybe defiant, but yet no matter how many years they've resisted the power of God, when He wills, when the wind blows, God can change a heart. And God does change hearts. People that we'd never expect. But God is so able to do that. Well, in Galatians chapter 1, we find probably the most unlikely person to have ever been saved. The most unlikely person to have ever been saved was the Apostle Paul. But yet God saved him. I want to read just a little bit. Paul, an apostle, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul became who Paul was by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul didn't become Paul the apostle by Paul's will. Paul didn't become Paul the apostle in his strength. Paul became what he became through the agency of God. Verse 4, talking about Christ, he says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Amber and Andy went to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee this week with Dr. David Platt. And David Platt was doing what they call secret church, and he was talking about different cults. And one of the things he talked about at the conference was a false gospel, or what they call it, Andy? The counterfeit gospel, okay? Paul is going to talk in Galatians chapter 1 about a counterfeit gospel. One of my church members, and I'm not going to name that church member because I'm going to say they have friends. And they have friends that go to a local denomination, but that local denomination honestly has a counterfeit gospel. They do not teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't teach that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh that came to live a sinless life, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we're saved by grace through faith by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the only gospel that there is. There is no other good news that saves men that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay for our sins. And by believing in Him, we can have everlasting life. Any other gospel is a counterfeit gospel. And the gospel is, verse 4, Jesus gave Himself for our sins. Jesus came and suffered in our place. He died on the cross in our place. He suffered the wrath of God in our place, that He might rescue us from this present evil age, that He might set us free from the American dream, that He might deliver us from living for this world, or for what we can get in this world, but that we'll live for the glory of God. So many people, my friend, they live their whole life for what they can get in this present evil age, and we've got to be rescued from that. And the only way to be rescued from that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the last part of verse 4, He came to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. My friend, it's by the will of God. It's by the power of God that we're saved. It's not man's will, but God's will. And so Paul says in verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. What was happening to the Galatians is there were some what they called Judaizers, and they were coming into the church, to people who had been saved, to say, okay, yeah, Jesus is a great thing, and believing in Jesus is good, and confessing your sins is good, but you've got to do some more things. You've got to still be circumcised, And you've got to still keep the laws of God in order to go to the kingdom of heaven. And so they were adding works to the gospel. They were adding good deeds to the gospel. They were adding their traditions to the gospel. My friend, you can't add anything to the gospel. If you say you've got to trust Jesus and do this, this, and this to be saved, you have a perverted gospel. And you'd be surprised how many denominations have a counterfeit gospel. And so the Galatians, they were saying, okay, I mean, you know, we're Jews and we've received Christ, but we've got to be circumcised and we've got to obey the dietary laws and we've got to obey all the laws and the services and the sacrifices of the Jews. And Paul said, that's not true. You cannot desert the true gospel. Down in verse 11, he said, I would have you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism. What do you know about the Apostle Paul in Judaism? Do I? He persecuted Christians. What else do you know about him? Do I? He was a Roman citizen. Anybody know anything else about Paul? He was high up in the hierarchy, in the Pharisees and in the Sanhedrin. I mean, folks, he was the Jew of the Jews. He was a leader of the leaders. He was a Pharisee of all the Pharisees. He had achieved more than most anybody in his contemporary. I mean, he was the man. But he also exceeded everybody in his hatred of Christians, in his murder of Christians, of his persecuting of Christians. And he said, you've heard of my former manner of life. In Acts chapter 9, when the Spirit of God had came upon Paul on where? On the Damascus Road, right? I mean, you know, what was Paul doing on the Damascus Road? He was going to Damascus to persecute believers there, to drag them away from their families and to carry them back to face the judgment of the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was willing to put them to death. He said, you've heard how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Not just a church. Every church. And the whole church. Now, in my opinion, in most churches, he wouldn't be in real high on the prospect list. In fact, you remember when he was blinded on the Damascus Road and God spoke to him and God said, I want you to go to a certain place. There's a man there, Ananias, inquire of him. And he did that. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God went to say to Ananias, hey, guy, I got a visitor coming to see you. He's blind. I need you to go take care of him. Well, who is he? Oh, it's Saul of Tarsus. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, God, hadn't you heard about this guy? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. He said, hey, God, you know, I don't know about you, but I done heard about this guy. Have you heard? He is just terrible. But what did God say? God said he's a chosen vessel of mine to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and kings and to the people of Israel. He's a chosen vessel of mine. God said to Ananias, hey, listen, I do what I choose to do. This guy is mine, and I am going to have mercy on whom I have mercy. Hey, God, you can't have mercy on this guy. He's killing people. God, you can't have mercy. This guy's the worst guy there is. God says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Listen, there's nobody that God can't change. There's nobody that God can't change. In another place in the Word of God, Paul literally says, this is a paraphrase, it's not a quote, but Paul says that God saved me so that everybody else will know that God is able to save them too. There's not anybody too bad for God. Because God, the Holy Spirit, says, I can have mercy on whomever I will. There's not anybody I can't show mercy. And so Paul, being without a doubt the worst person in the world to think that, hey, yeah, you know, this guy's going to get saved. But verse 15 says something. But when God. Do you remember John chapter 3, verse 10? The wind blows where it chooses. You hear its sound, you know it's there, you know it has power. You don't know from where it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit of God. But when God, Paul didn't control God. God controlled Paul. Amen. Paul didn't convince God, hey, God, you see all these good deeds? Hey, God, you know, why did Jesus say to Paul when he first spoke to him on the road to Damascus, what did Jesus say, Paul? Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting me? Why are you causing suffering to me? Why are you killing mine? Does that sound like, wow, Paul, he lived good enough that God had mercy on him? No. But God says, I have mercy on whom I have mercy. And in spite of Paul being maybe God's worst enemy at that time, God had mercy on him. Don't tell me that your family, your friends, your enemies, whatever, don't tell me that they're beyond God's mercy. God will have mercy on whom he wills. Aren't you glad for that? Now, so the Bible says, but when God, who had set me apart from my mother's womb, King James Version says, but when God, I think, who sanctified me, the word sanctified means set me apart, who separated me, who had a particular purpose for me. Paul says, but when God, who had a particular purpose for me, a particular purpose that existed, and it already existed when I was in my mother's womb, Paul said, God had a purpose for me. Even before I was born, God had a purpose for me. And he called me through his grace. That was on the Damascus Road. God had a purpose for me. He called me on the Damascus Road. But when God was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, what God is saying is, when God was pleased to reveal to me his son, Jesus Christ, so that I could be saved, so that I could preach the gospel among the Gentiles, when it pleased God to call me, to draw me, to reveal to me his son, When it pleased God to do that, I obeyed God. Paul was not going to Damascus to get right with God. He was going there to kill believers in Christ. But when it pleased God to reveal Jesus Christ to Paul, God did it. God did it. God successfully did it. If God didn't try to do it, God did it. And my friend, when your friend, your family, the person that's hurt you the most, my friend, don't give up. Because God, who did it to Paul, can do it to them. It doesn't matter if it's 37 years of living in sin, or 57 years of living in sin, or 70 years living in sin. When it pleases God, for the wind of the Spirit of God to change someone, God can. And God did. And God is still doing it today. And when those people that came through it for a sack lunch, and they came through there with habits in their lap or hiding in their car, don't think that one of these days they can't be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they can. Because God has mercy on whom God has mercy. And I thank God that God had mercy on me. We're so messed up because mentally we don't understand the Word of God. Someone was talking to me this week, and they said, "Preacher, you know, there were a group of people together, and they were talking, and they were talking about this person that had molested a child, and they turned and said to him, because they knew he had faith in Jesus Christ, and they said to him, 'Do you mean to tell me that you believe that God will forgive someone that has molested a child?'" And I'm going to tell you, as horrible as that sin is, as worthy of hell as it is, I'm going to tell you that God is able to have mercy on whomever He will. If God gives them repentance in their heart, if God gives them repentance in their heart, and if they're grieved over what they've done, and they ask God for mercy, and they ask God to save them, my friend, God can rescue anybody. And I tell you that not because, listen to me. It is a heinous sin. But God's grace can forgive you or anyone or Paul or anybody else. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Now, before you get too self-righteous and before you like yourself too much, we are all sinners. Well, what is the difference between a child molester and a liar? Is there a difference? I think there is. Let me tell you what it is. You know, the Bible says that unbelievers are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and against the righteous judgment of God. Do y'all know what that means? That means every sin someone commits in their entire life, God is keeping a record of it. And God is storing up a record of all of our sins. And one of these days, if we don't come to faith in Jesus Christ, one of these days, if God doesn't move in our heart and give us faith in the Lord Jesus, and we repent of our sin and accept Him as our Savior and our Lord, one of these days, if we're not saved, we're going to be punished by God for every sin we've ever committed in our entire life. And we're going to be judged according to what we've done. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, I believe a child molester is going to be tormented in hell forever and ever and ever and ever in proportion to what he did. And I don't think the torment in hell is going to be same for someone that lied as someone who molested a child. We're going to be tormented according to what we've done. Now, hell is going to be hot for everyone. The burning lake of fire is enough, but there's additional torment for those who have sinned, and every sin you've committed in your entire life is reckoned by God, and you're going to be punished for every sin for eternity. But I'm going to tell you something about lying. One lie is a violation of the law of God, and it offends God so badly. One lie will send someone to eternity in hell forever and ever and ever to burn in a lake of fire. Now, there's no one that has ever just sinned one time. There's no one that has ever sinned just by lying. But you want to think how heinous a sin is and how horrible a certain sins are and how wicked it is to hurt a child. And it's wicked, but God's going to take care of that. God will take care of that. But my friend, God can have mercy on whomever he will. And I thank God for that, because God had mercy on me. But don't think you're, in God's eyes, a beautiful person, because you're not. God knows your heart. He knows your sin. He knows that you've done more than lying and cheating and stealing. God knows you. And one of your sins angers God enough for you to burn in hell forever. We're not clean. We're not beautiful in God's eyes as sinners. But I thank God, because God saved some people that are awfully wicked. And if God can save them, God can save me. And if God can save them, God can save you. And God saved Rahab the prostitute to let all the women in the sex trade know that God's grace is good enough for them. God will have mercy on whom he has mercy. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad that there's not anyone that you love, anyone you care about, that is beyond the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ? And Paul says, But when God was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. When the wind blows, you see its effects sometimes. Sometimes those effects are huge, right? I mean, you can look outside your window and see all the trees down in your neighbor's yard. You can see the effects of the wind. But my friend, when the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, causes you to believe in the Lord Jesus, and you put your faith in him, life changes for the glory of God. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. Aren't you glad we as a church family were gracious to the poor and did something really neat? And may God let us do it again and again. And God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your grace that's greater than all of our sin. Thank you, Father, that there's not one of us that have sinned grievously enough that we can't be saved. And there are none of us that haven't sinned grievously enough that we have to be saved. Oh God, we need you. And oh God, you're able. In Jesus' name, amen.